Oh yeah, there's one long time wanted to dress as a clown. Okay, you know why? Because he says, he say if he goes to heaven, he can make people laugh. And he goes to hell, he can make people happy there too. If he goes to heaven, he can make people laugh, but if he goes to hell, he can make people happy too. It sounds funny to us, and sometimes when we read, it's like, wow, so cute, not so cute. But if you think about what is happening, you know what the devil is doing? Propagating lies to 1.3 million people. That's actually a very interesting page. But you know the type of lies that have been propagated, you know, the devil is probably looking at the picture and say, that's right, that's what I want them to hear. Oh, wow, let them believe in reincarnation. Oh, they're going to come back. The philosophies that will come out from the newspaper is going to go into people. And there was one Indian man or so who believed that, well, when I die, I have my ashes. You know, they believe the ashes will just be thrown to the waters. And they believe that they will just be reincarnated and come back again. You know what? Some people believe that if I'm cremated or whatever, God is not going to be able to find us again. Can I say this? The Bible is very clear. Even though we are cremated, at the great white throne judgment, everyone who has ever died and you're cremated, God's going to put you back together to stand before Him. Because that's what the Bible says. Because everyone will have to stand. What I'm saying in that, you know, even in newspapers are educational. Whether in the right way or the wrong way. And in this situation, it's definitely the wrong way. He's talking about life after death. He's talking about life after death. But you know what? Out of the 20, I think about 25 pictures, only one talks about one lady who is in the Salvation Army, want to be dressed out as the Salvation Army uniform so that he can hear from Jesus, well done, the good and faithful servant. You know? Out of 24, how many percent is that? What, 90% of the people there say... 96%. A philosophy is only 4% true, 96% lies. Does that make sense? Let's say there's about 25 pictures. Only one of the picture depicts the truth. But the other 96% are all lies. I was going through the textbook today. I was looking through the science textbook. It's interesting, many of the textbook, like for example on chemistry and science and about leaves and things like that, have a lot of truth. Meaning that that's what is generally observed in science. And I was trying to look for the part whereby it takes 5 million years and things like that. I couldn't really find it. But you know what? As you go higher in your learnings, that will be the introduction. They don't talk about God. They don't talk about how things are held together. Okay, I just want to highlight that because we are all exposed to education. But we need to realize education must begin with God. Okay. Another statement of corrupt statement is all denominations are similar as long you believe in Jesus. We know that's not true. I was speaking to someone yesterday, and he was saying that he had a conviction because he wasn't baptized. And so what happened was he wasn't baptized, but he was serving in a church. Okay. Over time, God began to convict him about the fact that he needs to be baptized, and so he went to the pastor of this church. And the pastor, look, he's actually in charge of a ministry in that church, but he's not a member, and he's not baptized, okay? And he was sprinkled, okay, as a young child, about age of 10, he was sprinkled. And so he went to this pastor, and he was telling the pastor, I think I need to be baptized. And the pastor looked at him, what do you mean you need to be baptized? You're in charge of a ministry, what would that tell people, you know? But the conviction in his heart was so strong, he said he left that church, he went back to wherever he was from, and he got baptized the proper way, by immersion. Okay? And one of the things that is very concerning is, I was speaking to him, and he said, he actually made this statement, which many people don't believe, but it's biblical. It's not how you are baptized, but even where you receive your baptism is important. We must be a Christian, right, before we got baptized. We must be saved. We must be immersed, because that's what the Bible way. But he also mentioned, Pastor, it's true that you must also receive baptism from the right place. In other words, he's talking about the right church. The church that believes the Bible. And he from first-hand experience say that he was in a church that was just traditional religion. They just do the things. And he had to leave there, even though he was in the ministry there for years. And he said, no, I got to follow the Bible. Okay? Even in religion, even in Christian denomination so-called, there's a lot of education, but not according to truth. Infant baptism is unscriptural. Confirmation by the different denominations is unscriptural. You can't find it. But you know, people are being educated in that, but you can't find it in the Bible. Neither must we teach our children that, because it's wrong. Okay? So we need to be careful. So from God created us perfect, we've been corrupted in our learning. So this whole society is based on corrupted type of learning, with understanding darkened. What God wants to do is restore us to proper learning. So how did He do that? We found out that the way to proper wisdom and knowledge is, the Bible says, Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to fear God. If the starting point of all education must be God. There is no proper learning until we learn to fear God. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7:18. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 18. Stop me along the way, alright, if you have difficulties understanding. Ecclesiastes 7:18. Okay, let's read that together. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18. Ready? 1, 2, begin. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Okay? Now, in this situation, this is a statement that has its basis in 15 to 17. Solomon says, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. There is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Do you know what Solomon is saying? He has seen a person who do what is right, but he dies very young. A person who do wrong enjoys life. Okay, verse 16. And so Solomon says, be not righteous overmuch. Neither make thyself overwise. Well, why shouldst thou destroy thyself? You know what? This is one of the reasonings of men. Being a Christian means I got to do all these right things. For what? Huh? So and so is not a Christian here, or he's enjoying life. Huh? He's doing what he wants. He go what he sleep. How long he wants. He doesn't have to follow this set of rules. Why am I so silly following all these things? This is what Solomon says. But you know what? The whole key to this argument is this. All things have I seen in the days of my meaningless existence, my vanity. That kind of reasoning can only come from a person who lived life without God. And so some Christians have this thinking that, why am I so faithful for what? You know, what do I get? I need some time for myself, you know. Can I say this? When we think that way, we are thinking life without God. We are not understanding that God is in charge. And so, in verse 17, be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? So in other words, have a balance. Some people say, let's have a balance. Don't be. Have you heard this argument from Christians before? We can be faithful, but don't be too faithful. You know, you need to balance. You know, time for this and time for that. You need time for yourself. Balance. Last time I used to think that some people who really go out of their way to serve the Lord, I would tell them, you need to take some time. Or I believe you need to take time to rest. But I've come to the conviction, you take time to rest so they can get back into the service of God. Not take time. Some people take spiritual vacations. There's no such thing as a spiritual vacation. There's only one spiritual holiday you take when you go to heaven. And that's forever one. But in the meantime, you have to serve the Lord here. There are many Christians who have this thinking, oh, let's just, don't be too on fire. Just don't be too zealous, you know. You need to balance, you know, you need time for family, you need time for, oh yeah, I believe that. But you know, there are people who will take that to the point of being in the flesh in terms of their argument. You know what Solomon says in verse 18? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. The person that will avoid all this, he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. That means you have this kind of thinking that serving God, you don't be overzealous. Be a good person. do what is good, and have all things balanced, make sure you have time for yourself. In other words, put yourself in the picture of all this. You know what Solomon says? Get a hold of this. The person that will come forth of them all, that means he will avoid and prevent himself from getting caught in this kind of thinking, is how? By the fear of God. Any questions? There's a passage that Solomon wants to teach us here. In this world, we will have our own thinking. But Solomon says the way to actually stay out of this kind of worldly thinking is to fear God. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Okay, I was thinking through that, and that's what the verse means. It means you can think this way, which is actually wrong, because it's life without God. The way to step out of this and not be caught in the worldly philosophy is to fear God. The way to educating and education is to fear God. Because we will see things. I've come to a point in my life where I realize this 3.5 kilograms we have here, a lot of us live our entire lives using this 3.5 kilograms, what we think. But you know what we think is made up of our own experience, our own learning, and we know that our experience and our learning, the lessons we learn from our experience and our learning, are corrupted. We need the light of God to show us the truth. Does that make sense? And so in education, what we teach our children, if it merely comes from our thinking, our understanding, our way of life, we can even put Bible lessons in there, you know. But our children learn what we give them, what we show them. Sometimes our children don't learn what we teach them. Agree? We tell them to be loving, but we show them that we are unloving. What do you think your children will learn? We tell them, we teach them, don't smoke. Don't smoke, huh? Don't smoke, huh? There are some people who say that. How dare you drink? What are the children going to say? You tell me this, but you're doing that. Can you see that the fear of God in our hearts, Christian parents, is the way we teach our children how to fear God? And when they fear God, they will have the proper understanding of life and education. They will see things, they will see relationships, they will see skills, they will see church, they will see friendships, they will see all kinds of things from God's perspective. They will even see the newspaper. That's wrong, right, Papa? No, this is wrong, right? Esther Joy always comes to me, Papa, this person said this, oh. It is wrong, right? So, yeah, it's wrong because... And then we have the privilege as Christian parents to teach her what is right. And so she will go away with the proper understanding. Okay? Any questions? How does God restore us to proper learning, the fear of God? What is God's plan for education? Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's turn there. God's plan for education. Then we'll take the next half an hour to finish the rest. Okay, Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Please stop me, alright? Because it's very important for... I hope you can understand. I'm actually working a lot on understanding. I can give you... The notes are here, but make notes down. Ask God, help me to understand. What is education from your perspective? Matthew 28, how does God restore this world to proper education and learning? In verse 18, Jesus says, came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Noting the word teach. The word teach here is very interesting because the word teach comes from the Greek word meaning to enroll. To enroll. To enroll. In the Greek word means to enroll. For us, in spiritual context, we talk about evangelism. So we get the people saved to enroll them into the school that God wants them to go. Okay, enrollment. And then baptizing them. Notice obedience. You're going to get them back to the position of obedience once again. Because if you don't obey, you will always be questioning. Nothing wrong with questioning. But when the questioning comes from my perspective, I don't want to receive this, then we're not going to learn anything. Okay? This is one thing which it's very important for us to understand. When we may not understand certain things, you know what we need to do? I've learned this from the Bible. God says the way we increase our understanding is by obedience. Let's turn to John 7:17. Alright, let's put our finger there, Matthew 28. But let's go to John 7:17. How do we increase our understanding, the knowledge of God? John 7:17. John 7:17. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Okay? In the Greek philosophy, I question until I'm satisfied. In God's philosophy, I'm wise, you follow what I say, then you understand. Does it make sense? There are many things that, you know, driving the van over the last, I've been driving since 1991, okay, that's 20 years. And I began to understand the difference between starter, alternator and the battery. And because I've been to a mechanic so many times, I begin to understand. You know, the best teachers in life sometimes is experience. When you cannot start your van, then you begin to, what is the problem? And you try to be smart with the mechanic. You know? And the mechanic, hey, I tell you in my experience, this is the problem. Then I will say, sure not. Actually, my thinking, I don't want to spend so much money. But you say, it costs you $400. Sure, no, and then we have to change the starter. It costs us 420. We have no choice. Because otherwise, Timothy will have a problem when he starts. Hey, how come, Brother John, you cannot start? Because the starter is not working. But you know, I would try to kind of cut costs and things like that. In my opinion, I had quite an unpleasant experience with some person. It was my fault. I tried to enforce what I think that he should do. Because I told him, I drive in now, my battery, okay, now you take out the thing, my battery die. Then how? But actually, my battery also was very low already. So I realized that I was wrong. I actually was wrong. And why? My human wisdom. My goal is I must save money for the church. Which is a good goal. But it wasn't a wise goal, because if I want to save money for the church, which is good, the van is not going out of the workshop. So it's all good. So I have to make a choice. I have to follow what the guy says. And these guys are very smart. They know, you don't, okay lah. Your van cannot move. But so you have no choice. What I'm saying is, many times in the Christian lives, Christians, the obedience is more important. Because with the obedience, God then gives the understanding. We will never understand a burden for souls until we are out there trying to win souls. And you find it so hard to win them, and your heart breaks. Because why can't they see they need Jesus? But we will never understand unless we go. Does that make sense? Okay, this is something. So in education, it seems from God's perspective, we need to just go back to Matthew 28 again. We need to enroll them, get them saved. The saving, the salvation changes the heart. God has to put in a new engine, the new nature. And with the new nature, God then says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost. We need to input obedience. For parents teaching children, your principle from the beginning is not negotiate, discuss with them, is expect obedience. Because if they're not going to obey from the beginning, oh, they may, you know, some children will talk. They can talk, they can even out-talk you. Alright, they can tell you reasons that you, where in the world did he get that from? They may have their own understanding, but you know what? If you allow them in their own understanding, you know what's going to happen to them? You're actually training them to follow their own understanding. That's why in education, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That was an instruction God gave to the parents. Because immediately after that, after God said, the words that I command thee shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What God is saying is this, in education, If you don't have a set of settled convictions about principles in this life, you cannot teach your children. If you do not have the conviction that reading the Bible is important, how are you going to teach your children? If you don't have a conviction that God instituted the local church as an all-important New Testament institution to propagate and to spread the gospel, the priority we place on church will not be as high. How are we going to teach our children? I was speaking to someone, and he was saying that we were telling him that you need to be faithful to the local church. You know, I want to go and tell other people and things like that. And then after you tell the people to be saved, what are you going to do? Teach them faithfulness to the local church. And then you keep quiet. If you're not doing it, how are you supposed to teach someone else? You know, that's the whole thing. Genuine education is life transferring to life. Your life, parents, are so important, okay? So Jesus in Matthew 28:19, the plan for restoration education is, go ye therefore, enroll them, and then baptize them in the name of obedience, and then teaching them all things, to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. We do need to then teach them, alright? After you get saved, you need to be baptized. Obedience, then you need to serve the Lord. You need to understand this, you need to understand grace, you need to understand giving, you need to understand forgiveness, you need to understand... Do you realize these are human relationships that is so bad in this world? And these are the things that God wants to restore in terms of education, okay? Any questions up to there? Let's move on, okay? Point number two. What do we need to learn? Okay, these are some principles we need to remember. Just go through quickly. Number one, we need to realize in our hearts and always remember that God created all things. All things come from God. As Christians, whether you are learning in the secular institution, students especially, when you learn in your secular institutions, you will come across what we call humanistic statements. Okay, man is the measure of all things. We have all the answers. Science have been very good to us. We can learn a lot of things. True. But you know, science is only partial truth. Okay? Partial truth. And they try to explain the truth, but don't give you the whole truth. Because they don't have the whole truth. The other part is missing. The fact that God made all things. Alright? Of course, I'll highlight one thing. We need to realize in our hearts that God created all things. This is crucial because education and learning in its most basic form is the process by which we learn why things exist. That means what things mean and how they work. In engineering, for example, you need to understand the process. But you need to come to a place to understand God was the one who started the process. Okay? So, what is the main reason for things that happen in this world? How does things happen in this world? Evaporation, the law of gravity, Newton's law, first, second, law of thermodynamics, how camera shutters. You know how they actually develop the camera? From the human eye. Who do you think make the human eye? God. Even up to today, they're trying to refine the process. But you know what? The human eye is an amazing, just the eye is an amazing, if you ever study biology, the eye. You realize, you know, when you come from a bright place to a dark, you know, at night you can still see, right? You know why? But you don't see the colors. If you study bio, you realize there's the rods and the cones that actually have different light differentiation, that some color, some for colors, some for black and white only. God made all that in. Where do you get, I think in photography, you have black and white, different colors as well. Where did all that come from? God. Okay? God. So subjects in school, for example, science, geography, mathematics, and language, for example, they all come from God. Okay, listen to this. To study something apart from what God has revealed about them is to learn to learn partially or to learn incorrectly. I'll give you an example. How many of us do history here? History. How many of you have done history? You've done history, right? Okay. What is usually the first civilization that they teach you? Can you remember? What's the first civilization they always teach you? I remember in 1982, what's the first civilization?
I think
it's Neanderthal man.
Again?
Neanderthal man. Neanderthal man? No, history.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, for me, we learn about Asian. Okay, man from... yeah. my earliest recollection is the first civilization is Egypt. It's Egypt. The first civilization is Egypt. Is that right? Some of you for ancient history, like Egypt, then China, and all that kind of thing. Okay? Yeah. I think the earliest one would be we came from apes. Let me ask you a question. Is that true? Is that true? This is taught as if it's truth in our secular schools. Agree? Because why? We cannot let God come into this school. But what does the Bible teach us? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, if you learn the history of man, is it logical you need to know who's the first man? Who's the first man? Is that the first man? Well, of course, there are other things before that, I'm sure. Is that the first man? Climbing trees and... I don't know what they do here. Is that the first man? No, what's the first man? Is it logical for us to learn the history of man to start off by learning the first man and first woman? Adam and Eve. Oh, we have a very unbiased education system, right? No. Because it's entrenched in the education and the philosophy of this world. That's why they don't teach Adam and Eve. Okay? So, in the biology exam, when you're asked about the origin of man, and you write in your answers that God made man from the dust of the ground, is it the right answer? Is it the right answer? No. If you send it to the examiner, I'll write down, we come from God, God made us from the dust of the ground, that's why we have all the chemicals from the ground. The chemicals from the ground. If you submit that in, is it the right answer? No. Is that the true answer? Yes. So what do we learn in schools? You learn to give the wrong answer. Give the wrong answers. Based on what we know is true. Okay? The goal of education... Okay, this way. So in public schools, many children actually learn lies. Agree? Not all. I must say that maths and all that is just logic. 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, those are truth. But you know, as part of the whole education, children are taught lies along the way. Okay, so the child is taught to pass the test, especially Singaporeans, we have what is this called? Being exam smart. Right? I'm trying to be exam smart for Joanna, you know. You're very good in this, but you know what? You need to focus a lot more education time on this. And I just focus in languages and all that. In Singapore, we focus a lot on being exam smart. I mean, there is even courses that you pay thousands of dollars saying PSL is just a game. You know how to win the game, that's all. In public schools, many children learn lies, so children is taught to pass the test whether it is true or not. We may obtain, listen, this is very important, we may obtain degrees from the universities, but we may not have learned the truth. One of my friends have always said, degrees from universities is only our license to try. Give us a license to try. Whether we are good at it or not is a different thing. So really, what do we learn from our schools? I'm not saying our universities are not important. I think the education and the process that we grow as being able to manage our time, plan the project, do it properly. But you know, the truth and the content that we are learning from schools. Oh, parents, we need. No, I have parents saying, just let them learn now. They can learn by themselves. No, we are actually in charge of what they learn. Okay, so be very careful there. The goal of education, therefore, have not been achieved. Students have learned, but they have not learned the truth. They have learned facts, but not the truth about those facts. Does that make sense? They learn facts. I was looking through the PSLE, and they were talking about the cell structure. We didn't do cell structure in secondary 2 last time. And it's like cell structure, and I realized... Anyway, they learn how the cell structure, mitochondria and all that kind of thing. But they don't know the truth. For example, you know the nucleus and the what do you call that? Science not very good. The what? No, people, the atoms that run around, you know. Neutrons in the what lah. And they just move around each other. Okay? But what do you call that? What do you call that? Electrons or something. It's physics, some physics, right? That all the this atom and things just things going all around. They didn't tell you how it's held together, how the thing just go round and round, you know? Now the Bible actually tells us how it holds together. The Bible says, by Him, all things consist. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that holds this world together. Does that make sense? Okay? Science tells us the facts. God shows us the truth. That's very important. So a lot of the... That's why a lot of people coming out from universities have facts, but they don't have truth to guide their lives. That's why PhD scholars can be a peeping Tom. Okay? Master's degree people can do things, it's like... I think there's a recent... I cannot remember. There's a recent situation about tuition teachers taking advantage of students. Like, you know the facts, but you don't know the truth. So the goal of education has been achieved, have not been achieved, because students learn, but they have not learned the truth. They learn the facts, but not the truth about the facts. So number two, what do we need to learn? Number one, we need to realize in our hearts, God created all things. Number two, what is the purpose of education? To learn the truth in order to fulfill God's calling in our lives. Parents, you have to understand this. The role of education is not just to get a good job. The role of education, as far as God is concerned, to learn the truth in order for our children to fulfill God's calling for their lives. Okay? So our children, when they learn in our education systems, we have to think, are they acquiring an education that will fulfill God what God wants them to fulfill in their lives? Okay? For my children, they say they want to be a nurse, or my children, they want to be a Christian educator. That is what they believe God has for them. My role is to learn, how do I give them a Christian education based on the Bible, or an institution that honors God, that can help them in the direction to pursue God's calling in their lives. Now, I know when I say this, it's going to be very hard, because in Singapore, the education system is very, very good. But the problem is the basis is ungodly and anti-Christian. Not all, thank God there are a lot of Christian teachers who may be going in there to try to help some situations. But I think you know, Christian teachers were told to keep quiet. If you're not allowed to propagate your faith, there was one situation, I think a tuition teacher brought people to the VBS. She was called out by the vice principal. And she was so fearful. Can lose her job. Satan has in place systems to block out God when we try to do what is right. Okay. The purpose of education is to learn God's truth, the truth, in order to fulfill God's calling in our lives. We also have to understand, number three, the foundation for all education and learning is the Bible. The Bible is the foundation of all truth. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is true. God's word is truth. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. Psalm 119, verse 151 to 152, I'll read. Thou art near, O Lord, all thy commandments are truth. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:25-26, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Some professors who believe in evolution, after they have been presented the facts about creation, actually repented of evolution and became Christians. And now they are in full support of what God has made. I think earlier in this year, we saw how the Christian scientists described lightning and the flowers and how the water system, how God made all these things. Okay? There must be a repentance. In education, what do we need to learn? We need to learn another two things. Number four, God's revelation of Himself. In Romans chapter 1, let's turn there. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Verse 20. Romans 1. I'll just read. For the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, creation, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. This is God's general revelation about Himself. This verse has to do with the facts of nature and laws and what can we learn from nature. Okay, example, the law of gravity tells us that everything goes up must come down. Okay, so that's why we have the basis for chairs being able to stay put where it is. This pulpit is not going to be floating around. If you try to preach in outer space, what will happen to the pulpit? You got to run everywhere the pulpit goes, right? Then you got to swim to make sure you're, and then you got to catch your notes, right? Why? Because you're in the, but we have the law of gravity to pin things down for us here. Okay, we understand that and we apply that to our lives. Okay, and also how do people? Never mind, I don't talk about that. Okay, God's revelation of Himself has to do with the facts of nature, the laws, and this is what we learn. The facts of nature cannot bring men to God. And that's why God needs to give us special revelation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God made man, okay? And then, Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. Number one is general revelation, then there's special revelation, okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times in diverse matters spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Special revelation refers to the fact. General revelation means I can know God. I can know about God by what I see. Special revelation tells me I can know God personally. When God reveals Himself, okay, I know about Brother Rolando, okay? The facts is very clear. He's big, he's strong, he has less hair than me, that kind of thing. This general revelation about Brother Rolando. But you know what? If you know him, he's very skillful with his hands. Okay, he knows how to do things that we don't know. He knows information about how to do certain things. He needs certain tools that I don't even know existed. Okay? He's actually really a gentle giant. Okay? Yeah? And, you know, I can know about you, but not when I know you personally. It's a different thing. Does it make sense? You see, we can know about God from nature, but we can know God by specific revelation. When God, it's only through the Bible that we understand God is love. It's only through the Bible that we understand God is holy. It's only through the Bible that we understand how God made this world. It's only through the Bible. This specific revelation. Okay? And so when God made man, God gave him information. God put information into his brain. And how well man comply with the information will determine his success in what he does. Does that make sense? When God made us, He put in the first operating system. And that is the best. Because of sin, viruses have been introduced into this system. That's why God needs to change the operating system through the salvation. And when God put in the original, this is not pirated, not from same names or whatever. He put in the original back into that person. Then he need to put antivirus, the word of God. Huh? Okay? But the viruses will still keep wanting to come through. You need to update your antivirus software. Right? Because otherwise every information that you type in will be corrupted. But unfortunately some systems, some lives crash. Because the information coming in has not been filtered by the antivirus. Some people don't even have an antivirus system. They don't read the Bible. And when the information comes in, it's all been corrupted, their system crash. You know what they do? Apple got problem with their system. HP got problem with their system. But actually, we didn't put the system in the first place. Does that make sense? I think using this analogy, is it strange that some lives crash. You know what God? God puts wants to put the original system. God wants the system to comply with this system, so that whatever comes out will always be the perfect document. Does that make sense? Any questions? I think if I put it that way, you can understand what education is all about. A few things that has not changed. God made all things. God is sovereign over all. He knows what's best. Following His instructions is the best thing we can do. When we follow the way God does things, it will be 100%. Right? The way God does things, it will be 100%. I'm trying to think of... Okay. How many of you remember your first experience of making coffee? I thought, when I first made coffee, no one taught me, this is self-knowledge, okay? I thought coffee, you make coffee the same way you make Milo. I still remember. The first time I made coffee, I thought, you make coffee the same way you make Milo. You put 2 tablespoons of... How many of you have drank coffee that you put 2 tablespoons of coffee powder in the same cup that you use Milo? And so when I put, my response, I think you can understand, I drank it, threw it away. Then I realized you only put 1 teaspoon. Because it's so bitter and so strong already. Does it make sense? Now if someone had taught me, I wouldn't have gone through that problem. But... you know, as Christians, we need to learn. Sometimes we do make mistakes. But I think it's so important. It's important that we learn from those mistakes, never to repeat them again. But if we don't, I can assure you, your life will go through one trial after another. It's not because God is hard. It's because we haven't learned what is the right thing to do. That's where counsel comes in. Why do you think God says in a multitude of counselors, there is safety? Why do you think God says, fear me first? Let me teach you. Let me put in the right operating system for you. Why do you think God says, just do what I tell you and then you understand? Because God wants us to have a successful life. Okay? So, we not only do what He instructed, but we also need to do the whole truth. Okay? We need to actually, when God says this, we need to do everything related to it. Then we will learn. How many of you have children or people who say, okay, pick up the tissue. So what he does, he pick up the tissue. And yeah, I pick up the tissue. Well, I throw it away. Oh, okay, I throw it away. But usually, an instruction will involve, okay, can you please pick up the tissue? You don't have to say, okay, please go there, pick up the tissue, go walk to the beautiful basket and throw it in. Usually you don't do that, right? You just say, please pick up the tissue. You would understand picking up the tissue involves picking up and throwing it away, right? You know how we obey God? God tell me to do that, I do that, Lord. God tell me to do that, I do that, Lord. We only focus on one thing, but we ignore all the other things. Does it make sense? You know what I'm trying to tell you? It's just like you don't like a supervisor, he asked me to work from 8 to 5, I work from 8 to 5. My work not finished, but he tell me work from 8 to 5, what? But work not finished, he tell me work from 8 to 5, so I work from 8 to 5, lah. But you still got... all these 4 puzzles, you understand? But he said work from 8 to 5. Huh? How many of our children do that? You ask me study, I study, lor. I have one friend, his name is Jay He. You ought to know him. He told me one thing. He likes to play, he's very playful. He's in secondary 2. And I was secondary 2 too. He said this. You know, Ajani, every day my mommy just tell me I need to study for 3 hours. So I just sit at my table for 3 hours. Huh? After I go and play. And then, when you're studying, no, you just tell me 3 hours. So what do you do 3 hours? I look out, a lot of people playing, I see them from my window. I'm sitting there for 3 hours, what? And he literally was there for 3 hours. You know why we laugh? I think you know what I'm trying to drive at. That's how we obey God sometimes. God, you ask me to come to church, I come to church. But then God, I come to church for what? You know, worship, I'll sing, yeah, I'll come and sing, yeah, I'll give offering. You know what kind of understanding that is? It's not an understanding from the heart. I'm just going through the motions. And that is the problem with many Christians, because they take obedience to God as mechanical. You know what Proverbs 23:26 tell us? My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. In other words, God said, let's start with the heart, and then let's do the obedience. Proverbs 23:26. Parents, you will do well to remember this for yourself, and then pray for your children. You cannot force them to give you their hearts, but you can certainly pray and ask God, help me to love you. I pray that my children will be able, willing to obey because they want to, not because they have to. Okay? Alright, just very quickly, the last part. In what sort of environment are we to learn from, or just going go through? We learn from our environment. Everyone agree with that? We learn from things around us. We learn from things around us. And many of our life principles, many times, have been brought on, or we learn those things because of what we have experienced. For example, if people who live in the 1960s will have to fight for survival, like in Singapore, you know, our founding fathers are very, you know, we had to do this, you know, and because they had to fight the communists, you got to fight this, and fight that, and fight racial riots, and fight everything. So everything they make was, you have to be decisive, it's a make and break. Today, in 1990s, we need to sit down and consult. Let's just have tea. Let's sit down. Let's just have tea. We invite everyone to the round table. You know, have cakes. Nice one from, don't know what, Sweet Secrets or whatever. And everyone have a nice time. Wear nicely. Talk nicely. And consult. On an environment change. And in this environment, when you look back to the draconian ways, those hard ways, I say, well, those people are really out of touch. But if you were there at that time, that's how you behave too. Because survival was out the main thing for Singapore. But right now we're different. We learn from our environment. Like it or not, environment plays a very big part. Okay? When we live in a Christian home, we learn what it means to be a Christian. Or we should learn what it means to be a Christian. Amen? When we live in a Christian home, we learn what it means to be a Christian. When we are part of a church, we learn what it means to worship God and what it means to have the proper attitude to serve God. And that's why a lot of people come to church and say, if this kind of church, I don't want to go. Okay? You know, sadly, sometimes what they see in church doesn't encourage them. That's why they leave. I was talking to this guy again yesterday. He says, the doctrines are right, Pastor. The doctrines are right. But what they practice are, so far from the Bible. So I say, you see an inconsistency. Yeah, what they say and what they do is two different things. I cannot stay there. And that was what he shared. It is very confusing for a child or an individual to be taught one thing, and yet the person spends a lot of time in an environment that is inconsistent with their teaching. I say again, it is very confusing for a young child or an individual to be taught one thing, and then the person spends a lot of time in an environment that is inconsistent with that teaching. I'll read this quote, I think you have that. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be His witnesses. We are called to change the world, right? One by little bit by bit. However, we are not properly equipped to do this unless we have been properly taught. We need to learn the things that will benefit us and those you encounter for the rest of your life. What we learn from, for example, Christian education, but also what you learn from the environment that you live in. Those people who are Christian homeschooler is not exempted from the problems of life. We face the same thing. It's just that we are in a controlled environment that we can ask God. God, we have no outside influence that will... even I say no outside influence, that's not true. Television, friends, vulgar words from the guy downstairs, all comes in. Music, TV. But you know, what we learn from a Christian Christian education, we also learn from the environment. When we do that, live in a Christian environment, we learn from what we see and do. That means what we learn from the Bible, we see it in practice on a daily basis at home. But when our children, or even those older ones who are in tertiary education, what you learn in the Bible, you go to the school and the teacher teaches you totally different. And then you get confused. My mommy tell me God is love. My friends tell me God must have got a hatred because they killed everyone in the Old Testament. Which is true. And because we spend 1 hour family devotions with our parents, we spend 6 to 8 hours in school being drummed in that God is evil, God is bad, you need to do what you want, no, just do how you feel and go by feelings. You know, 6 hours here, 1 hour there, 2 hours there, next day, 12 hours, 3 hours, 18 hours. Over time, who has a greater influence on the mind of a child? Continuously. In the Christian environment, you learn from what we see. When we observe reality, let's say you come to church and everyone starts fighting with one another, it's unforgiveness and all that. You say, I thought church was supposed to be a place we come whereby we love one another. And what I see, and what is being taught is like, well, you know what people will tend to do? They will tend to go with the reality. Agree? What you say is not going to be so important. But what you do. Okay? We are observing the reality of what you are taught. This is a crucial element in your education. For Christian parents, listen to this. When our children cannot see the reality of the Christian faith in you, you will lose your children. Because what they are taught is inconsistent with reality. If the reality say bite each other and do one to others before others do one to you, get ahead, steam ahead, do all you can, gossip, whatever, do all the kind of things. I know. You know, we always have these people who say, I know, the Bible says we are to love one another, but you know what? This is real life. And I need to be in real life. And so what they learn, and what is reality, humanly speaking, we live by sight, more than by faith. Does that make sense? And so, as a child, being without any understanding, they will go by what they see. And over time, their hearts change towards the world. Alright? When we learn from this environment, as let's say in a Christian home and Christian education, the child will learn the good from evil, the right from wrong, the truth from lies. When we complete our education, we will be better used by God to make the world a better place. Can I say this? In our next generation, already we are facing a problem now. In Singapore today, less and less young men are giving their lives to full-time service. You know why? Because they have been taught by this world, you need to take care of yourself first. There are less and less ladies more willing to serve God full-time and give up what they want for God. You know why? They have been taught by this world serving God. Or may not, they not be explicitly taught, I mean clearly taught. But you know, this world have a whole training program for everyone. Does that make sense? If you're a scholar, you have your road map out for you. You know, after PSLE, you aim for O-levels. After O-levels, if you in MOE, if you look at the website, they have a whole, okay, if this person do this, can't make it, he go here. Can make it, he go here. Can't make it a little bit more, he come here. It's all on the website. So the educational process for everyone is mapped out from young. Christian parents, do you have a training program for your children to make them effective for God? And that's why so many people in churches are not giving their lives to full time. You know why? Because they've been educated that this world's way is better than God's ways. I submit to you, God's way is still better. Because what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? Steve Jobs, right now, is resigned from Apple I'm not too sure whether he's a Christian or not. I hope he is. He's very smart, very creative. I mean, Apple, iPad. And can you imagine what he can achieve if he uses all these things for God? That his motivation would not be money and creativity. And I'm sure he'd do charity and things like that. But you know, if his whole life is given to God. What we learn from our environment, we'll know what is good from evil, right from wrong, truth from lies. When we complete the education, our children will be better placed, better used by God to make the world a better place. Let me ask you, what is your desire as Christian parents? Your desire, isn't it, to be trained, to be trained in the principles of God, and for your children to know God? Isn't that what you want? Unless you tell me that's not what I want, Brother Johnny. Let me read from you a passage, a principle from a Christian school. I just quickly read through this. Was asked why he felt this Christian principle, why he felt it was important to have a Christian school, okay? When the public school was so readily available. This is a common argument. Oh, the school is so set up already. Why you want? The person asked this principle, we have very good public schools. Why do you think Christian children should be in the Christian learning environment? And then the principal asked this interviewer, say, John, are you a Christian? He said, yes. The principal then asked, do you believe the Bible is the word of God? He said, yes. Do you believe that we should obey the Bible in all matters? He said, yes. Well, John, show me the Bible where it says that we have to send our children to the public schools for their education. Oh, that's hard. That's hard. Of course, there isn't any. If it is a desire that our children should learn and follow the precedents of the Bible, there's only two institutions established by God for the education of our children. You know what they are? They are the church and the family. That's why, parents, you are your children's number one teacher, ordained by God to teach your children. But Brother Johnny, I can't teach the different things. Let me just go. I'll give you an example. The owner of a house is expected to take care of this house. Okay? If he doesn't know how to do it, what does the owner will do? He'll get people to help him. Okay? However, the person that helps him have to be consistent with what he wants the house to be. It cannot be that, let's say he has a leak, and after he gets someone to help him with the leak, it leaks some more. And then as a parent, I must keep going back to undo and undo. And then I employ someone else to fix the house again. And then the house continues to leak. Does it make sense? Isn't that what we do all the time as Christian parents sometimes? I do tell, I know there are some parents here, when I teach it, I teach it gently, I teach it. But you know, many parents in our church have had to undo a lot of things, and it's a struggle. Why? Because we are delegating our education to a plumber, to a person who is not doing the job that we want them to do. Train up our children. I dare say this, every Christian parent here in our hearts, in this church, have a heart for our children to grow up in Christ, to be useful. Is that not true? Then my challenge is, then we need to learn to trust God to act consistent to that principle. Our environment reinforces our learning. What environment are we providing for our children? That's why in the church, I believe, it's my conviction that Batman Robin should have no place in our Sunday school. VeggieTales should have no place because they encourage worldly music, they encourage worldly ways of learning that doesn't help our children. We don't need a young generation that come out and... And when the church say, to God be the glory. You know what you're teaching them? Worship is boring. Worship is the most important segment of a Christian's life. When they stand and sing, you're not just standing and singing, you're standing and worshiping an almighty God who loves us, who doesn't need this, and then all the sunglasses, you know, and like that. You know. And then after that, rock music. I think you know what I mean. We don't need Batman Robin. We don't need Superman. Shall I call him? He flies and but he runs around in the red underwear kind of thing. Even his dressing is inappropriate. And our children have this as their heroes. When you know what? Joseph should be their hero. Daniel should be their hero. Jesus should be their hero. Paul should be their hero. Peter should be their hero. Why is it? I have one friend who said, we introduce our children to Mickey Mouse the moment they are born. Mickey Mouse was created by someone who don't believe in God. What this name? Brother Johnny, is it wrong to have Mickey Mouse? I don't think so. I think cuddly, the children need to... but we need to be very careful. We need to be careful with our teaching systems. That's why they even use Harry Potter in some churches to try to bring people to church. In England. Let's turn to a few verses, then we'll close. So let's turn to Proverbs 19, verse 27. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Let's read together. This is Solomon's earnest plea to his children. He says this. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Solomon says, cease. Put on the brakes. Don't go any further, my son. When you hear, stop listening to instructions that will cause you to err from what you know it is right. That's why some people may ask me, Pastor Johnny, I'd like to go to this place to listen to this. You know, this verse immediately comes up to my mind. I don't think you should go. Because if those words cause you to change your mind from what is right, we're not trying to control, you know. We're just trying to obey the Bible. Because God says, don't put your children, don't be yourself in a situation where you are listening to things contrary to what you know is true. As some may ask, Brother Johnny, I can't do it, neither do I have the resources. So, me and my wife don't have the resources. I know my wife works till... a whole day is occupied with the four children. Now, sometimes I have to go out. We don't have the resources. He does. And that's why we need to pray. You know, as we learn, we say, God, if this is your will, Lord, if the children is your gift to me, God, help me not to sabotage your ways of teaching them. Help me to teach them. Brother Johnny, you know, I'm already in there, so how? Can I say this? As parents, what you decide for your children is your responsibility before God. My role as a pastor is to teach you what God says. A signpost, and for you, the church has no right to interfere in domestic affairs, but the church has every right to teach you what God says is true. Whether you will accept that or not is your responsibility before God. As far as you can read from the Bible, blessings will come to those who will obey. And for those who choose an otherwise different course, you would have to be very clear in your hearts. Is this what God wants you to do? I say that kindly, lest you misunderstand. We have been misunderstood many times in this whole area of homeschooling. I believe by conviction personally that to homeschool our child is to provide them with the Christian environment they need to grow. I also understand practically in some situations there may be situations that may not be able to, for example, a single mother or maybe a husband that is very sick and cannot, and the wife has to go on to work and children, they can't do it anymore, you know. They can't homeschool, they just have to send their children to the public school or in between. There are some practical, but my question is it possible for us to take that responsibility to teach our own children the Word of God? If there is, You know what? We need to do all we can to do that. Yes, you will struggle. Yes, you will lose out. Yes, there will be things that you will not have. Our children don't have EduSave. But that is our Singaporean citizens' right. But you know, because we chose this way. Oh yes, there will be more opportunities in the schools. But you know, the foundation of those opportunities, our children, when they go overseas for those trips and all that, you know what? It's not going to bring them closer to God. Unless the whole thing is centered around Christ, you will find they will have a thirst for this world. All these things will I give you, if you will bow down. You know this, I hear in them, that's why parents, you need to be praying more. I'll touch on that in the Sunday service, because I want to talk about how to be effective in praying for your children. I want to make it very clear, I have nothing against anyone. Please don't get me wrong. I believe all my heart as a pastor, my job is to warn you from Scripture. Because ultimately you have to live with your children. For those who are growing up, getting married, take heed to this carefully. There is no difference. Whether you homeschool or you public school, there's no difference. It's our obedience to God. In this church, everyone have a right to do what you feel God wants you to do. We are not to judge. But you know, if there are certain vital wisdom principles that we need to follow in the Scriptures. And unfortunately, that will set us apart. You know, if all can come to a unity of that truth, to just follow what God says. In my heart, as pastor, I'll do all I can to support you. We've done it before. And if it is your burden, say, Lord, I don't know what to do. We'll help you. We'll try. And I know I can't, my wife can't, God can. And we'll just be instruments whereby God can. And I'm sure other people in the church do have experience that they can be tapped on to help this whole process. We do have homeschooling families that can help. Can tell you, we're all struggling. Amen. In my one of the things I like to start is actually a family-related support group whereby we can come together, discuss problems whereby we face in our families in terms of learning, children, behavior, whatever, and then encourage one another to walk and do right. And that's something that hopefully we can do. Alright, any questions? It's a hard topic, but I believe in order to be different from the culture, we need to hear from God. And we need to teach our children the way God wants us to teach. For students in tertiary education, these vital principles must be in your hearts. Because you cannot face the onslaught of the world's teachings without having it settled in your heart. God, you are first. Whatever you teach is going to be first. I'm not going to allow anything else. Yes, I may have to do the project, but keep my heart pure in Christ. Alright, come, let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just commit the worship service into your hands. I know we touch on the whole area of education, which sometimes it might be hard. But I ask your Holy Spirit to guide us in this. I pray, Lord, for our students in the public schools. I pray for your strength and protection. Oh God, how we need much more grace. But still, Lord, we want to follow your word. And I pray today the lesson on Christian and culture with regards to education. Help us as parents to be responsible, Lord, because it is your will for us to oversee and take care of our children spiritually. Lord, help every parent, every mom, every dad. May our hearts be given over to you, that our children will learn to obey, that we will serve you with all our lives. Lord, I pray specifically for our next generation, that there will be children growing up who will be so taught by their parents, they say, I will serve God, like Daniel who purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat. Like Moses when he was young, was trained by his mom, that when he was growing old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the things of this world. Oh God, we pray for a next generation, Lord, that will be strong in you, and that Father will serve and take your church here to a next level, whereby many souls will be brought to a genuine knowledge of Jesus Christ, that many souls will be saved, and to the next generation, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray you answer this prayer. It's my heart, I believe the heart of every parent here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have about a few minutes. We'll come back for the service.